Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. Welcome back to Behind the Glass. If you are joining us as a regular viewer or listener, this is the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the automotive and automotive social media worlds. I am your presenter, your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass. This is Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hello.
You're going to notice today that I am ill, Tony is not. So I have the gravelly voice.
Oh.
Yeah, that was actually the worst.
That's terrible.
You're not good at a fake laugh, Tony.
No.
You're not good at a fake laugh. Anyway, you join us today, for those of you watching, on youtube.com/behindtheglass in Tony's new office. Still not finished, though, is it?
It's close.
This will be a running joke that about 5 years' time, we'll still be filming here and it still won't be finished.
But it's nearly there.
It's nearly there. Today is the first time I've been back to your new showroom for maybe 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And it has moved forward a lot. There's furniture now. Things are getting real.
We're getting close.
There's even internet. Now, the interesting thing, the way that the world works, we actually recorded a podcast just 2 days ago. But because at the weekend I'm off on a bit of a road trip, and the fact that yesterday I was in Austria with Bentley, this is the only time slot we've got to record a podcast. So we don't have a huge amount to talk about.
But we'll muddle through.
Yeah, we jumped on Twitter and asked a load of you to suggest some topics for us to discuss in today's podcast. So I hope it's bearable. You stick with us and enjoy the various things that we're going to try and discuss. And I want to kick things off with Formula One.
Okay.
Because we've mentioned the fact that we're going to be talking about Formula One a lot on this podcast before. And today and this week, a lot of Formula One cars have started to be launched. So I'm going to kick things off from the beginning. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
House F1, who cares? moving on. Alfa Romeo Sauber. Alfa Romeo back. They've launched a car. It's got a livery. I was a little disappointed. I don't know if you've seen it, Tony. It's white with a bit of red and a massive Alfa Romeo logo.
No, I haven't seen it.
I guess the problem is, like, I guess traditional old Alfa Romeo race cars were red, but I guess Ferrari were like, you're not going to have a red race car. It's a Ferrari.
Because they basically still run F1, don't they?
Yeah, they run the whole thing, let alone run Alfa Romeo. So a little disappointed at the livery of that, but they have signed the young prodigy, Charles Leclerc.
Not Archie Hamilton.
No. Archie still slates in that. No, I'm not joking. I did actually watch something with Archie, and Archie was like, oh my god, Leclerc's so sick. Oh my god, he's amazing. That's exactly how he talks. So they got a young prodigy coming up. So I think that I'm intrigued and excited by what Alfa Romeo Sauber will be, but I'm pretty sure they will be back runners of the field. Moving on to more slightly exciting things. Today, there has been another team launch, and I'm totally forgetting which one it was.
Mercedes?
No, yeah, but we're gonna get on. Don't.
Okay.
Tony.
Sorry.
Tony, read the notes.
Sorry.
There were no notes there. I've lost my train of thought. Williams launched their car. Let's move on to the exciting stuff. God, you know what? I need a break. I keep pushing myself. I'm ill, and I should rest. But I keep filming and I'm getting worse.
But you've already had a break this year.
What break?
You've had a break like start of the year, like Christmas.
What? Christmas holidays?
Yeah.
That's a break?
Mate, it's February. Are you serious?
No, listen to my voice. I'm dying.
You're just a bit ill.
Yeah.
Like, you're not dying, mate.
I am dying.
You're dying.
I'm unable to speak. That's the problem.
Okay. Thank God.
Yeah, let's get my mind back in gear. I'm sorry about this, guys. Let me have some of your awful coffee.
He's just getting me back from the other day because he did make me a coffee.
Tony's
from
like, oh, I got a really fancy new coffee machine in the showroom.
Tastes like instant to me.
It's not.
Okay, so yeah, then we're jumping on. This morning, Mercedes have launched their new car, and now I've just seen a picture of Ferrari's latest mobile. The big talking about, the thing to discuss really, is the freaking halo, which is the new head protective device. I just think it looks awful.
I don't.
You do or you don't?
I think it looks all right.
Are you mad?
No.
Because it reminds you of your glasses?
No. It's a bit offensive.
A bit offensive. Mate, how can you like the halo? Oh, there's Paul Wallace being a tweet of... Look!
Yeah, it looks sick.
Are you mad?
No, what's wrong with that? It's different.
It looks like a pair of underpants over the driver's head.
Yeah, but it looks all right.
Oh, no. And also, you know, I'm a bit disappointed with the Ferrari livery this year, because what's been really nice over the previous years, they've been doing a like integration of white and stuff. It's a very red car.
Ferrari are red, mate.
I know Ferrari are red.
So what colour would you like them to be?
Well, no, but I like them when they splice it up a bit. Like back in the day when I was like started getting to Formula 1, they had all the Marlboro livery, so it's broken up with a bit of white. That's very red.
It is broken up. It's got Shell on it.
We're going to disagree about this. Anyway, cars have been launched. Ferrari have got a red car. There's the halo.
As they normally do.
As they normally do. It's been a fascinating topic, hasn't it? Should we move on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I promise you the F1 segments will all get better. There's not a lot to talk about from the cars have been launched.
Yeah, literally, we got the colours of the cars and that's it.
So let's move on to car-related things. It might be a little bit more natural and comfortable for us to discuss. Somebody has asked... Oh, I should have... Oh, mate.
And you're normally quite good at this.
I'm unbelievable. You wouldn't think it, would you?
And you're normally like fuming when you do Q&As and you say... Well, you need to read out who sent the message.
I've forgotten who sent the message in. Okay, I mean...
Sorry.
Should we start again?
Not again.
Tony's favourite things when I look at him going, start again, oh. Yeah. First cars we have owned. Come on, we can do this, Tony. We're gonna smash this. It's okay, podcast fun. Day. We're recording a podcast. Let's get in the zone. Okay. First cars we owned. Tony, what was the first car that you owned?
I had a gold Ford Sierra Ghia.
I'm going to Google that because...
How can you not know
what I'm not sure Sierra I know is. What a Ford Sierra looks like.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
Yeah, so you're only 8 years
I know,
years
but I
would
know... Okay, like this?
No.
What year? Like 1974?
No, like a C or a D Reg. 1980-something, 87.
1987? I mean, mate, that is it. That's a gold Sierra right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it was a Ghia. It had like nice pepper pot wheels.
That?
But it is that.
Oh my God, that's the best thing. To see you driving around in that would have been... I think we should buy one for you, mate.
No.
I think it should be a company whip.
That is sick.
That's quite cool, actually. Yeah. I'm looking at... But that's a Sierra Cosworth RS500.
You know they're 100 grand now?
Shut
I
up.
Swear to God, they're 100 grand.
How much did you buy your Boggo standard gold one
well, I
for?
Don't know. Like
£10,
like 50 pounds or something.
That's mad. The Cosworth,
yeah,
because
yeah.
They're considered a modern classic now, aren't they?
Apparently, yeah.
Apparently, what a nightmare. Did you like it though? Was it a good car? Was it a good first car? That's the most important
well,
thing.
Well, I don't know, mate, because I had nothing to compare it to.
No,
I've
but
had a car.
But I think that first cars are incredibly important because really they are the start of our journey as automotive petrol heads. And it's not about having a car that's good or expensive or whatever, but it's about the memories. And so was it a car that you have memories in, or was it a bit bland and you don't really remember much about it?
No, it was bland. I don't really remember much about it.
Well, then it's not a good first car, mate.
No. No, it was just literally...
Just
I'd put
wheels.
A fiver's worth of petrol in it.
Amazing.
Charge all my mates. We'd all jump in it and we'd all drive around the estate.
How long did you have it for?
Like months. I probably crashed it.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Do you remember what you got next?
So I remember a car in my mind that I first enjoyed, and that was a Nissan Pulsar GTR. Do you remember them?
No, mate.
Mate,
before my
seriously.
Time. Mate, I wasn't born. It's 1987. I wasn't born.
But
Nissan
it's still
Pulsar,
half your...
GTR. GTIR? Or
yeah, GTIR. Yeah.
GTIR.
Yeah, yeah. Sick.
Sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look at that rear window.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So that's a 2-litre turbo, 220 horsepower pocket rocket.
Wow.
With more turbo lag that you can care to remember.
That is unreal.
It's like
I mean,
the Batmobile.
You had horrific cars as your first two cars.
No, that wasn't my second car.
Oh, that was just a car that you owned?
Just a
you're
car
just telling
that
the story you wanted to show off.
had fun in.
Okay. No wonder. I mean, it does look a little bit like a sort of Domino's pizza delivery car. Like, you know, like a perfect car for that. I can't get over the rear styling. It's amazing.
I can't believe
you
don't
have this grill
one.
On the bonnet?
Did yes, standard. That's
standard.
How they come. Wow. Japanese import it was.
Wow.
It was like a K Ridge.
This is incredible.
And then I went down the Subaru Impreza route.
What was your life? How do I not know this about you? How do I not know this about you?
Yeah, that's what happened.
So what would you say was your first, like, German sports car or supercar, or, like, you know, when you went from doing Subarus and Japanese imports or horrendous Ford Sierras, what was your, like, you know, I guess, cliche success car?
I had a 2005,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I'd hit the jackpot. It was mm-hmm. in my early 20s. It was quite new as well. 330 BMW convertible M Sport auto.
Do you know why we're high-fiving?
Did you have one?
My first, like, success car, 330i Saloon, 2006.
Was it?
Yeah. Good cars, right?
I love that car.
I love mine as well.
Yeah.
At that age, when it's like your first, like, proper performance-y car, it's so exciting because they're like a step up in quality, power, driving experience. And as much as we both slightly poop on BMW these days, do we? No, maybe
you
just me.
More than me.
Okay, but, me more than you.
But yeah, I don't love them like I used to.
Yeah, because I think, but no matter what, as a driver, it's a great, like, first driving car. You do feel like you're in something a little bit more than your
Absolutely.
Sierras or your, I don't even know what that's called, Pulsar Gitter. Gitter?
GTIR.
Gitter.
What is wrong with you today?
Mate, I'm so out of it. The Nurofen. I think I've OD'd on Nurofen. or Lemsip Max, all those sachets have gone to my head. Okay, well, my first car was a VW Golf Mark IV 1.4.
Oh, I had one. I had a GTI. I forgot about
you
that.
You had a GTI?
Oh, and I could just remember the other one. Do you know what other car I had? I can't believe it.
So you had too many cars is the problem.
No. I had a Renault 5 Turbo, which I loved. I forgot about that car. No. And it was like 180 horsepower, so I used to turn the turbo boost up in the car.
Wow. Yeah. But did you have that, like, when it was new?
No, it was It was like a H-Reg, but I spent a load of money on it. I forgot about that
car.
And that was, like, fast.
That's a
fast
legit car. Those are now true class. Like, people go nuts for those things.
Yeah.
Look really cool.
So I had one of them as well.
Okay, no need to show off. But yeah, Mark IV Golf, you had the GTI, which infuriated me because this was my first car. It was a sort of, you know, local independent car dealer special. I took it straight to Halfords. I replaced all of the...
I took it straight to Halfords.
All the air conditioning vents I replaced for chrome vents.
Oh.
I bought some chrome strip that was just like strip and I put it on the bonnet grill to make like chrome grills and I put some aftermarket wheels on it. They were so cheap that I went over a pothole and the wheels cracked.
Of course.
So that was amazing. It was a real special, but I loved it. It was my first car. The second week after I passed my test and bought the car, my parents bought the car. I took it straight up to Scotland, Edinburgh, road trip in Edinburgh with my best mate, C. McFly.
McFly!
Can you imagine?
Enough.
Two kids in a car that was bought by one of their parents driving up to Edinburgh to watch McFly. We were a walking cliche of public school twats.
And Mark IV, was that?
The sort of boxy one.
I remember.
Yeah, you remember?
So Mark III was a bad Golf, weren't it?
I think people thought Mark IV was a bit of a dodgy Golf. I mean, it was the R32 of that I think people loved.
Yeah.
But it was still getting quite boxy. Mark V is when they went really chunky. That was the one that got a lot of disrespect.
Yeah.
But this I thought was a brilliant car. It shook when you got to sort of 90 miles an hour on a closed road. But it was just amazing and I loved it. And the one that killed me, there was a diesel 1.9, I think.
There was, yeah.
A few of my friends had the diesel 1.9s and I was like, oh my God, you got like a bigger litre. What? That's crazy, bro.
What did you have, like a 1.6 CL?
No. I said the 1.4, but... that was still legit. Like, to me, that was big time baller.
The jackpot.
Big time baller. Yeah. I think it was $2,500, I think. I mean, and at that time, that was so much money in my mind.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, well, look, we'll get you your first car. And I was like, you're giving me $2,500. I mean, you might as well give me a house.
Yeah.
Like,
this
so
is
much
serious.
Anyway, I don't know what happened to my life. But anyway, that was brilliant. So yeah, Marfa Golf. And I weirdly went from the Golf to the BMW 330i because I inherited some cash. And it was supposed to be like,
I never knew this.
Did you not know this?
No, you never told me.
So my grandpa, who was one of the best people in the entire world, my mum's dad, he was hilarious, he was amazing. When he sadly passed away, he left the four grandkids 10 grand each.
Perfect.
Like, freaking inheritance. Hello, walla, walla, walla. I'm sitting there watching My Sweet 16 when they're like, still, like, when I was four, I inherited like 35 mil. my mum's sitting there going, grandpa's left you some money. I'm like, yeah, 10 grand. I was still a ton of cash.
No one's ever left me 10 grand.
Well, I know, it wasn't the 50 mil I thought. So she was like, you know, put this into a savings account, you know, buy some stocks and shares. Like, this was all the advice. He'd like left a note saying, here's some money for the kids to invest.
Be sensible.
I invested it in a 60,000 mile, 2006 BMW 330i, the brake failure, petrol leak. It was in the workshop every 2 weeks. Greatest investment of £10,000 I've ever done in my entire life.
And how much did you get for it when you sold it?
About seven.
So you had a lovely time.
I had a very expensive time.
Yeah, they were.
It cost me about
well.
£2,000 a month.
I know yours had a fuel leak.
I had a fuel leak.
Yeah.
So those were from a sort of brilliant car moment to an awful car moment, and just really being reckless with money, because when you're 19, someone gives you 10 grand and you're into cars.
Yeah, yeah, you hit the jackpot. Yeah.
If only I'd put that into Bitcoin, then, you know, anyway. Life.
Was it around then? Bitcoin?
No. No. How old was I? 19. How many? 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Maybe.
You've got Bitcoin now, haven't you?
I have got Bitcoin now. You want to know how much Bitcoin I've got?
Go on.
£50.
What did you put in? 200 or something?
No, you know, I did well. We talked about this before as well. Like, I think it's such a joke, Bitcoin.
Yes.
But over the summer, everyone was talking about it. This is before it got real hype. So a lot of my friends were talking about it. And I was like, screw it, I'll put in £200. So I put in £200 just before the explosion. Went up to like 600. I was like, I'm getting out of this. So I took 400 out, left 200 still in, and I was like, it's just crap, I'll take it all out. And I just left £50 in, and it's just like rotting.
It's not having a good time anymore.
It's hell. Please do not invest into bloody Bitcoin and Ethereum.
No.
Oh man,
I don't understand.
Amount of people I go to go, oh no, yeah, no, I play the field. It was a disaster.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Anyway, we've touched on that now. First cars that we owned, I think quite interesting. We learned a bit about each.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah. It was insightful.
Weird.
So, funny enough, I want to go from that, which is probably the lower end of the car spectrum, to the top end and touch on car flipping, because somebody else on Twitter, who I've awkwardly forgotten, suggests that we discuss car flipping in the week that the Ferrari 488 Pista and the new 911 GT3 RS have been confirmed. Now, we're not going to talk about those cars now. We're going to save it for Geneva, because we will be doing a Geneva special.
That we've got to talk an hour for.
Yeah, we've got to talk an hour for. Yeah. And it seems a shame now to get into things when we haven't even seen the cars in the flesh. Yeah. But both of us are going to Geneva. We'll get a chance to get up close and look at them, and then we will discuss. But the reason that I think it's appropriate to look at those cars and talk about car flipping is maybe not the 488, but probably the RS, falls into a category nowadays where people are buying cars with the sole purpose of selling them potentially even before they've been built or as soon as they take delivery. So I don't mean about someone who's going to take the car, use it for 6 months, put 3,000 miles on it, and
that's
then sell it.
That's not car flipping.
That's not car flipping in my mind.
No, it's not in mine either.
You're using the car.
You know,
look at any of these cars. They don't get a lot of mileage. So if you're putting 2,000 or 3,000 miles on it in 6 months, you're doing well.
You've used it in these days.
I'm talking about people delivery mileage or people who have slots for, i.e. the McLaren Senna or the Aston Martin Valkyrie and are looking for 200, 300 grand overlist for their slot.
Yeah.
That is, in my mind, car flipping.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the question was, do you think there's anything that the manufacturers can do to eradicate this?
Well, I think they are, especially Porsche and Ferrari.
Especially Porsche. Please explain while I drink your disgusting coffee.
So you're vetted now as a person. I can't go too deep into it because I'm not supposed to know what
oh,
I know.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, it's a little bit top line because I've got some other evidence.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Go top line.
Yeah, you're vetted to make sure that you're not. That's not historically what you do. So you need to have a relationship with them, bought cars of them before. You can't just walk in and say, "Can I have a GT2 RS or a GT3 or whatever?"
Even though you can try.
You can try, absolutely. But normally you have to have a history with them, and they need to know about you as a person. But there's other elements that they do check behind the scenes that I can't say, but they make sure.
Well, I think so. I think the things that are interesting that has come to light recently as well is that over in the US, Ford are currently suing WWE wrestler John Cena for flipping his Ford GT.
No, they can't do that.
So have you seen this story though?
No. But
so John Cena got an allocated slot, took delivery, decided to sell it. And in the contract or in the agreement or whatever, you cannot sell this car within, I think it was 6 months. I probably, again, should have read up before we started talking about this. But there was a clause saying that he couldn't sell the car in a certain amount of time. And he's broken that clause. And they are trying to sue him. And he is fighting back.
For sure.
Because I think the issue that the manufacturers have got is that it creates a negative environment around their cars and the market. It's not what they're about, or at least I don't think it's what some of them are about. And I think the other evidence of this is Porsche actually basically just making the cars that the customers want rather than doing these super limited production runs, because that's where the car flipping tends to happen. When a manufacturer comes out and says, I'm making 200 of these cars or I'm making 500 of these cars, that's when the car flipping goes crazy. Porsche, on the other hand, came along and said, okay, well, everyone went mental for the 911R. Let's just make a manual GT3. And all the 911Rs went, well, I paid 500 grand for my 911R on the used market. What have you just done?
Absolutely. But that was partly Porsche. They'd never admit it. That was partly Porsche putting two fingers up at the people that have paid $500,000 for a 911R.
Well, that's exactly it. Because, you know, it's sort of market control in a weird way. And I do think that's the other way that they can try and combat this. Is, of course, yes, vetting who's buying the cars and things like that. But it's going to be very hard to avoid. However, if you basically, like with Porsche, are basically a very good example. Instead of saying we're going to build 400 GT2 RSs, just call it a limited run.
That's exactly what they do. So they don't put a number
on it.
They
don't put a number on it.
No one knows.
No one knows. So it's harder to be a car flipper. There's obviously a value in the car because it's a limited run and it's a fantastic car and therefore fetch over list. But I do think it helps to not make the craziness happen, personally.
Yeah. But don't you think that 500 or 550 grand is crazy for a GT2 RS?
I think it's mental. I think 150 grand is mental for F355, but it's a different discussion. The thing is, I don't, in a roundabout way, I know I haven't really just been saying this, but I actually don't think you can erase car flipping. Do you know why? Because people are too rich, and rich people will pay whatever they want to get what they want.
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's always someone that will, and especially when you get to that level, like, unless you're multi-millionaire that really doesn't, not going to worry about losing 250 grand. If you've got a GT2 RS and someone's offering you double what you paid for it, we're talking about £250,000. Even if you're a millionaire, that's a chunk of money.
Yeah, that's a chunk of money and it's profit. And anyone who's made £1 million or
tax-free, by the way.
Tax-free profit in the UK.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And anyone who's rich enough in that sense, whether they're a millionaire, they know about making money and they're not going to turn down an opportunity like that. Mm. F12 TDFs are being sold for 900,000 euros because someone out there is paying 900,000 euros to buy an F12 TDF.
Double their value.
So I don't think you can erase car flipping, basically. Mm-hmm. It's the way of the world. And I know in America, dealers actually hike up prices. Like it's from the dealer, let alone here where it's in private individuals trying to do it. Muddy waters. But I think car flipping can't be erased. It's going to keep happening. And it's an unfortunate situation because it makes a lot of these amazing cars unaffordable from the minute they come out. Performante, who knows what's going to happen with future values. But that's a prime example of a car that, you know, may never be affordable. Speciale may never be affordable to me, you know.
Well, Speciale will never go down now unless we have a massive market crash. That's where they are, mate.
Just gone. Just gone.
300 odd grand.
List of 200 and...
50, 60.
Which is still a ton of money, but now 300 plus, you know, they're going up. It does make some incredible cars unaffordable forever, which I think is the negative.
Unless
time.
You can get them list.
Unless you can get them list.
Yeah.
That's always the challenge.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on in our very uncohesive. You know, we're usually really good, aren't we? Because we kind of flow between topics.
But you're not well.
It's not happening today. Yeah.
They won't mind 1 week, mate.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And talk about the potential for an STG company car.
Yeah, you need one.
So
I'm telling you this.
So basically, Tony and I have been talking on WhatsApp over the last few weeks. I have nearly reached, well, I will have reached 10,000 miles in the Cayman by the end of next week, because post my road trip to Barcelona, it'll be at 10K. It's quite a lot.
Six months?
Yeah, I bought the car in November.
Okay, so five months.
Yeah, 5 months, 10,000 miles. I obviously picked it up with 3.5 because it was an ex-demo. But it's still a chunky amount of miles. And I am not sitting here going, I want to get rid of it. I still love it. It's brilliant. But I'm just aware that if I carry on at that rate, when I do look to sell it, which will probably be towards the end of the year, I'm going to be...
You don't want it with 20,000 miles.
I don't want it with 20,000. I think I'm going to be in trouble with 20,000 miles. But also...
Here we go.
Basically, when someone says to me now, what cars do you own? I really cringe saying a Ferrari and a Porsche.
Do you?
I really cringe. Like, I just want to, like, I loved having the Abarth because I could not mention the McLaren and just say, I got a Fiat 500.
Is that what you
Yeah, I used to always say. And when I had the F-Type, I'd be like, I have a Jaguar. Because I just think it sounds like you sound like a knob when you're somewhere and you go, oh, yeah, I got a Ferrari and a Porsche.
Do you know what I say when people ask me?
Go on.
I'll just reel them off.
Yeah, like, I'm way too British. I just cringe. And also, there are sometimes when I want to turn up to certain events or things and I don't really want to turn up in a Cayman. Like, as much as I love it, it's a self-confidence thing.
You don't want to turn up because you think it's too good or not?
I think it's flashy.
What is in bright green?
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. Like, it's just a bit like, here I am, STG number plate, green Porsche. Oi, oi, YouTuber.
Well, that's what you are, mate.
I know, but I'm embarrassed by it.
Well, change your career, then.
No, I don't want to change my career. I love what I do.
But so that's it, then.
Stop trying to be philosophical, Yoda. What I'm saying is, I would like a stealth car. A very underground, very just, you know, inauspicious... Golf GTI, no, Golf R.
GTI.
Audi SQ5. Oh. Too expensive.
Macan GTS?
Still too flashy. Ford Ranger Raptor. Something which people don't bat their eyes at. It just slinks around. No one cares. No one's going to look. A completely random number plate. Not in a flashy colour. Just a very good day in, day out car that I can put miles on and use as a car. This is a company car. I don't want an M4. I want a 140i. Do you know what I mean? Like, super chilled.
What about an Amarok pickup truck?
No.
But you can get 100% back on your tax.
No, I'd get a Defender pickup or a Ford Ranger Raptor.
A Defender
Raptor.
Pickup?
Yeah, sick. Ford Ranger Raptor. I don't want an Amarok. You're trying to sell me your truck, aren't you?
No, I've got another year left.
Well, I don't really think I want a pickup truck. I have thought about it before because I thought about putting a tripod in the back and using it as a camera car. But I think like just like a little hatch or... It's a weird one because... It's a sort of slightly mute point. I haven't got a lot of money. And it's just me being... it's a self-confidence thing about having a Ferrari and a Porsche. But I just would like a sort of stealth car, like a hidden car. S1. Audi S1.
No.
Yeah.
You do need to look at a Golf GTR or Golf R, because you know
Golf
what?
R would be cool.
They're classless.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though.
Everyone accepts a Golf.
That's what I want. Yeah. Something that just people don't even think about. It's wicked. I'm going to have fun driving it, and I can put tons of miles on it, but it doesn't grab attention. The Porsche is brilliant, but it just, everywhere I go, people stare at it because it's green.
What about an FF?
I hate you so much. It's a weird one. I'm not convinced I'm going to do it, but I have thought about it for a while. And weirdly, speaking to my accountant, he said, you know, of course, have you thought about having a company car?
Yeah.
Because obviously my cars are assets, but like an actual legit company car, like it's a business lease or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because you can get some pretty amazing deals and then just put a huge STG logo on it and have it as like a company car.
Or nothing. Or just leave it. Just leave it as it is, mate.
Just keep my two cars right now.
No.
What?
Don't.
Put a sticker on it.
No.
Yeah.
Just leave it as it is.
Yeah. Question is, what would I get? Maybe there's a series in that. Finding the STG company car.
Maybe there is.
Could look into that, couldn't
Hashtag
we?
YouTube.
Hashtag YouTube. Hashtag yeah. Seen Through Glass, main channel. Check it out now.
I haven't been on that channel for a while.
No, nor have I. But yeah, it's a weird one. I'd be super interested to see what people have as company cars. I know a lot of people out there who have
insignias.
Insignias, yeah.
No, do you know what they have?
Go on.
3 Series diesel.
Yeah, you know, but like, but what? Because when I did the A7 drive, a lot of people said that these are business cars. Like, people have them as company cars. So I want to know if people have got secret things that, like, what? Who? Someone came down here in a Lexus the other day, didn't they? Or
yeah,
an Infiniti
yeah.
or something. Like, things like that that maybe people have just end up having as a company car and actually really enjoyed.
XE Jags.
XE Jag. Like, how cool is that? Or an E-Pace. But do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to look at the possibility of just a very incognito car that my girlfriend can use as well, that can sit around, no one's going to bat an eyelid, I can creep around in, I can just, you know, just an undercover company car.
A couple of £100 a month.
Bash miles on, couple hundred quid. Like, yeah, really not big money.
No.
Like, I'm talking about really, like, just a cheap, affordable thing. I'm not convinced I'm actually going to do it, but I want to look into the possibilities.
No, I think you should.
It.
Honestly,
you think I should?
Yeah, because you just kick your miles off your
special stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of not special miles that you do. You do lots of travelling up and down the country.
Yeah, just bashing motorway
you're just
miles.
Bashing motorway miles.
Yeah, but the other option I have is to do an Archie Hamilton and badger some companies to try and get a press car, a long term, like a 3 month loan of a press car. It's cheap because it's free.
Because it's free. Yeah, that's not
it's
a good
right on my street. I love anything with the word free.
Love a free.
Yeah, anything free, I'm so
that
keen.
And YouTube goes yeah. end in end.
So yeah, so basically the reason I want to talk about this is I want your suggestions. I want to hear from you guys what you think a potential company car could be, or if I could go around and try and find a press car that is a sensible, usable and economical car.
Like a long-term loan.
A long-term loan, but yeah. That's fun because, you know, like the XC, we've talked about it before, it's a great chassis. So it's fun to drive. Like the diesel Giulia, it still feels great to drive.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, make your suggestions. Comment below. Let me know your thoughts. Should we get an STG company car? Good question.
You should.
Okay, I think you should. Stop saying that. Stop spending my money for me. Anyway, I'm actually going to round things up there because it's been a short podcast because I'm ill and just not very good at what I'm doing today.
We haven't really got a lot
week.
To talk about.
And we haven't really got much to talk about, but I didn't want to let an episode slip, and some of you guys did submit some good things for us to talk about. I don't think we talked about them particularly well, but we did learn that Tony had some horrendous cars at the beginning of
Can
his
you?
Car life. No, I had some great cars.
When?
Halford Special. do not fear, we will be back on form in future episodes. This, I think, will mark down as a blip. Maybe I'll call it the worst podcast we've made to date. That could be, if that is the title, then yeah, we've spoken the truth. I hope you guys enjoyed it anyway. Just so that you know, I have now submitted an application to get this podcast onto Spotify. So hopefully that will come through in the next few days. I will let you know. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. And I will be sure to let everyone know when this is going live on Spotify. Also, I do believe that we're now on Android. Oh, what was that app called? Again, I mean, I'm useless today, mate.
You are normally a bit more organised.
Mate, normally. I've really
What's
gone.
Wrong with
I've
you?
Gone all Archie Hamilton today. Mate.
Archie.
It might not seem it. I'm really sick.
Are you?
Like, really lack of sleep and ill. I'm just being a positive force on camera.
So you're good at making things up?
Yep.
Yep.
Anyway, I hope you have enjoyed this. Make sure you're following us here on YouTube if you're watching us. Hit that subscribe button behind the glass. Turn on your notifications. Make sure you know when we're doing new episodes. And you can still follow us on SoundCloud and iTunes and hopefully soon on Spotify and other sources. Tony, would you like to say goodbye to the lovely people?
Goodbye, gentlemen and ladies.
Goodbye, everybody. Oh, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.